He had the shocking experience. Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 19 this morning, verse 1. And it was told Joab, "Behold, the king weeps and mourns for Absalom. And the victory that was turned into mourning shall mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people got them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, 'O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son.' And Joab came into the house to the king and said, 'Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all your servants, which this day have saved your life and the lives of your sons and the daughters and the lives of your wives and the lives of your concubines, in that you lovest your enemies and hatest your friends, because you have declared this day that you regard neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased you well. Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto your servants. For I swear by the Lord, if you go not forth, there will not tarry one with you this night, and that will be worse than all the evil that befell you from thy youth until now.' Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told unto all the people, saying, 'Behold, the king does sit in the gate.' And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent. And all the people were in strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines, and now he has fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word to bring back the king?' And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, 'Speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all of Israel is coming to the king, even to his house? You are my brethren, you are my bone and my flesh, wherefore then are you the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, art thou not of my bone and of my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if thou be not captain in the of the host before me continually in the room of Joab.'" Excuse me. "And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, 'Return thou and all thy servants.' The king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said to the king, 'Let not my lord impute iniquity to me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that the Lord the king, my lord the king, went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant does know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king.' But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, 'Shall not Shimei be put to death for this because he cursed the Lord's anointed?' And David said, 'What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you this day be adversaries to me? Shall there be any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel?' Therefore the king said to Shimei, 'Thou shalt not die,' and the king swore unto him. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said to him, 'Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth?' And he answered, 'My lord, my king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou not thy servant Therefore, my lord the king, yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at time at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said to him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto him, the king, Yea, let him take it all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto this house. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king his substance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said to Barzillai, Come thou with me, and I will feed you with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live that I should go up with the king into Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old and can discern between good and evil. Can thy servant taste and eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of women, singing men and singing women? Therefore, why then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way of Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, thy servant Chinham, let him go with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good to you. And the king answered, Chinham shall go over with me, and I will do to him what shall seem good to you, and whatsoever you shall require of me, that will I do. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king blessed Barzillai, and blessed him, kissed Barzillai, and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen you away, and have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan? And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, Because the king is near of kin to us. Therefore, when then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all the king's house, the king's cost? Or has he given us a gift? And the men of Israel answered, the Judah and said, We have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right to David than you. Why then did you despise us, that our advice should not be first in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. Almost had to get an intermission, had to get a breath. Okay? Again, we know that this is not about a history lesson, true or false. It's about showing you a principle to work in your life, the things that happened in David's life and his experience walking through. Okay? So we go back to the first verse again. It says, It was told Joab, which means Godfather, Behold, the king weeps and mourns for Absalom. Okay? Who does Absalom really... Who is Absalom here in this picture? It's his pride and joy. It's his production, isn't it? His son, his fruit, his production. And isn't that the thing that is the toughest thing for us to deal with? Our own fruit of our loins, our children, is one of the hardest things for us to deal with. To turn them over to God, to let God deal with them as he must. Correct? So he's showing you in this pattern that it's not easy, but even King David, who walked in a godly manner most of his life, had struggles with this. So even though we are godly people, doesn't mean we're going to just say, doesn't make any difference. We're going to have struggles. It's going to be a tearing in the mind about letting our children go through their experiences. And if God had chosen you or your sons to be, let's just say, be Judas Iscariot's place. Can you change it? Okay. You got to let God use you where he decides to use you. It's not our choice. And the victory that day, or literally the, the victory literally is the word teshu, which means deliverance. The deliverance that day became mourning to all the people, because the people heard intelligently that day how the king was grieved for his son. See, he had all these people that went out and put their lives on the line, and yet the king didn't care about them as far as he was showing. See? And we've all heard the saying, actions speak louder than words. You know, you can talk it, but if you're not walking it, what good is it? It's no good. And King David here was caught up in his emotions. And Lord, how many times have we talked about emotions in here? Emotions will deceive you, and your emotions will get you in a position where you cannot think properly, and you will be making those decisions from the way you feel and not from what God has said. As long as we keep our emotions level, we can make decisions from the right thought process, the way God has intended us to do. But if we let those emotions slip in there and take place and take front seat in everything, we're going to end up confused. Well, they didn't kill him. Joab did. Well, they knew the king and knew he had tendencies to have some outbursts at times, and and the king could take your life like that and no one could do anything about it. See? So, yeah, there was probably some fear in it. But they were all upset that God really didn't care about them. It's the way they saw it. That David was a representative of God and he really didn't care about him. He just cared about his son. And see, that's his emotions getting back in there. See, my son or daughter has no precedence over your son or daughter in my life. Everyone, to me, is people. You see what I'm saying? I love them all. And that's the way we have to look at it. Not just because they were born into the natural family, that makes them better to us than somebody else. What's the difference? Sure. And guess what both of them did? Both of them failed their test. Because they both were, David was thinking of himself and his emotions, and they were feeling sorry for themselves, weren't they? See? They were jealous because they didn't get what they thought they deserved. Their expectations weren't met. And if we have those expectations, what are we going to end up with? Disappointment, see? They did too. It just shows the nature of people, okay? How that the king was grieved for his son, and the people came by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. So I said they were kind of sneaking in. They didn't want the king to see anything, maybe throw an outrage on them or something, you know, accuse one of them of doing it. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, "Oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son." Tells you what was in his heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He wasn't concerned with anyone else who lost their lives in the battle that day, was he? He was only concerned about his son. Well, why aren't we thinking about all sons? See? And it said the king covered his face. What covered his face in reality? Now we know he covered his face with his hands. We're looking like this, putting his hand over his face. Oh, Absalom. That's not what I'm thinking about. What did he really do when he did that? And what really covered his identity? Not the hand, but his what? You were close to it. Emotions. His emotions clouded his identity. See again? His identity was covered by his emotions. He forgot who he was momentarily because of the outburst of his emotions. Not back to this thing about, it's okay to have emotions. God gave them to us, but they're part of the test to see if we will keep them in check and listen to what God said and not let my feelings and emotions tell me what to do. See, I got to obey my master, my Lord, not obey myself, which is my emotions. Okay? We got to watch that. And Joab came to the house, to the king, and said, "You have shamed this day the faces of all your servants, which have this day rescued your, what? The word life is not correct. It's soul. He's rescued your soul this day, and the souls of your sons and of your daughters and the souls of your wives and the souls of your concubines. Let me tell you something. Your life can't be saved because it can't be lost. Why? Because it's Christ. Christ will never die again. He's alive forevermore. See? That's a soul. Your soul can be lost. Your life cannot be lost. Because my life and your life is what? Hid in Christ. See? We can't lose life. And the words do make a difference, don't they? Okay? In that thou lovest thy enemies and hate thy friends, because you have declared this day that you regard neither princes nor servants, because this day I know, not perceive, it says I know, it's the word yada, that if Absalom was alive and all we were dead this day, then it would have pleased you well. That's a pretty bold statement to say to the king. Joab was the one that killed his son. But now, guess what? What does Joab's name mean? God fathered. So if he was the son of God, who else is going to stand up and speak the truth? But the sons of God, ones that's God fathered. That would make him a son, wouldn't it? He was the son of God. And the sons of God will speak the truth to whoever we have to. If you go back in the time of Samuel, you remember Samuel was a not a good father, was he? He wouldn't correct his sons. And God sent another priest. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Eli. You're right. It's Eli. Eli was not a good father. He's not a good priest. He wouldn't correct his sons. And God sent another prophet into his presence to prophesy to him about correcting his sons. And he wouldn't hear, would he? So God said, okay, here's another prophet coming, and you're going to die. The glory is going to depart Israel, and your sons and you both will die the same day. And it came to pass, didn't it? Okay. So if we don't hear, God will send somebody to let you know about it. And that's okay to make mistakes, but learn from it. Don't reject it too many times. You might run out of times to reject. Okay. And you might end up falling backwards and breaking your neck, like Eli did. Okay. Verse 7, now therefore rise and go and speak, it says comfortably, doesn't it? Well, it's not the language it says. Literally the language says, speak from your heart. It doesn't say speak comfortably, it says speak from your heart. How should we speak to people? See, why should we wait till some time of dire need or some time of desperation to speak from our hearts? Why can't we speak from our hearts every day when we deal with everyone? Why can't we? But still, we should still do it, shouldn't we? And if you love one another, you have an obligation to speak that truth to someone, whether they like it or not. If you come to me and say, Dave, you did something wrong, I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm going to thank you if you've drawn my attention to an error I've made. I'm going to make an error intentionally, because I found out deception is real bad. It deceives you. And if you're deceived, you don't know you did it, do you? So if you love me enough and you see me in deception, what will you do? You'll come and tell me. See? And not out of the point of view or the stance of, ha, you've made a big mistake and you've messed up real bad. That's not the point. The point is all of us make mistakes. No, could be from an attitude of pride in your heart. But when you understand, if you come in a loving correction, right? You lovingly correct someone and say, hey, maybe you didn't understand this, but I see something maybe you ought to look at. Would that make sense to you?
Well, people usually, when they hear from people, they do it in a manner that they take it as
offensive.
Yeah, offensive.
Well, they're usually on the offensive when they go do it instead of being just at ease. See? If you go in the right spirit about talking to someone, you don't have to offend them. And if they are offended, who's got the problem? They do, because they're offended. Anyone that's offended, it lies within yourself, whoever's offended, so that's the one with the problem. Didn't say you might not have helped it along. You might have done it the wrong way of delivering the message, but if the offense is in your heart, then you've got the problem, no matter what the other person does. Okay? But anyway, speak from your heart to your servants, because I swear by the Lord, if you go not forth, there will not tarry one man with you this night, that will be, and that will be worse to you than all the evil that befell you from your youth until now. You know what I figured out about David? David was a sanguine. Why would I say that? I say David was a sanguine personality. Why did I say that? Sanguine. Sanguine. There's four personalities: melancholy, phlegmatic, choleric, and sanguine. Okay, that's right. Okay. Sanguine was what David was. Why would I say David was a sanguine? Okay, something else. He wanted to be around people all the time. Right? He always was around people all the time. He always wanted people to be with him. He was never by himself. And he did speak a lot. There was a lot of things that point toward that characteristic in his lifestyle. Okay? And he said it would be worse to him if all the people left him. It'd be worse than all the evil that befell him. You take a sanguine and put them by themselves, and guess what? They're going to be very disappointed. They like to talk to people and be around people. Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told to all the people, saying, behold, the king does sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, because Israel had fled every man to his tent. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel. Did you notice what he said? All the people were in strife. You know, all of us are in strife in some form or another. We're all dealing with those things in our life in different degrees. Okay? And the king not saved us, but the king delivered us out of the hand of our adversary. What is our adversary? Our carnal mind. The king delivered us out of there. And what did Jesus do on the cross? He delivered us. Right? Out of the hand of our adversary, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistine. Now, why did they say back here saved, and then here said delivered? It should have been both places. Out of the hand of the Philistines, and the Philistines is the dust mites, right? Ones that roll in the dust. The what? Sandmen, dustmen, yep. And now he has fled out of the land because of Absalom. Are saying, here he was big and tough and rough with all these other things, and then his son, he ran from his son. And Absalom, whom we anointed, now notice, didn't say God anointed, did he? We anointed Absalom. Gareth, guess what? Every one of us has had an Absalom in our life that we've anointed. Did you know that? We have all had an Absalom in our life. Something in our life that was more important than what God wanted. That's our Absalom, okay? Just like all of us has got a Judas, someone to betray us, someone close to betray us, someone to let us experience that pain of rejection and hurt and deception. You see what I mean? We all have to experience those things, and everyone has an Absalom they have to deal with, something in our life that we have to lay aside, not necessarily a person, but a thing or something, that we anointed in our life, it's got to die. And here, Absalom is dead in battle, right? Now, therefore, why speak ye not a word to bring back the king? If what we anointed to be more important in our life than God is dead, then what should be coming back in our life? God. You see what I'm saying? So no matter what it was, if it was a person, it was a place, or it was a thing, it was a possession, whatever it is that was important in our life more than God, when that thing passes away, what should come back in our life? Very obvious, it should be God should be taking his rightful place on the throne of our hearts, right? There was an old song we used to sing when we were in the church system. Everything grows dim in the light of you. But I always changed the word of that. I said everything grows dim in the light of him, in Christ. Whenever Christ comes in, nothing else seems to matter. I mean, anything that you have anointed as an Absalom in your life, when Christ comes in your life, it just kind of seems to fade in the background somewhere. It's not important anymore, is it? Not as important. And he said, Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, why for did you not speak a word to bring back the king? And King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, saying, speak to the elders of Judah and say to them, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house? And that's what he told them to say. He said, you are brethren, you are of my bone and of my flesh. Wherefore then are you the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, this is the rest of the commandment to him, say to Amasa, and that means the burden, art you not my bone and of my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if you be not captain of the host before me continually, in lieu of Joab. Joab was going to be removed. I'll bet Mr. Joab was not happy. Right? He lost his position. He was captain of his army, general of his armies, and he lost his position. Do you think David didn't know what he did? Huh? Back on Joab again now. Back at you. See, he did something he should have done. He let his emotions kill Absalom, didn't he? And then now he's reaping what he sowed. He's being dishonored in the face of all of Israel to be taken out of that position. What did it do to him? Disgraced him. And he not bowed, but he inclined the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, return you and all your servants. Bring them back. Okay? And when I hear that, I hear the gospel being preached through every one of these messages. And when he said, return thou and all your servants, I hear Revelation 22 and 20, I believe it is. Is it 22, 20? Yeah, 22, 20. And he said this, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's what was spoken in the message that John spoke in Revelation. It's the same thing. There's a message of the gospel through every one of these things. You've got to look deep and hard to see them. But they're here. So he's asking them to come quickly. Okay? So the king returned and came to Jordan. Now, he returned and came to Jordan. What would that tell you in the gospel message? Well, nope. Not resurrection yet. He came to death. Jordan is death, right? So what did he come to? They're here. Remember we talked about this place? There was a hill, and he put something up here to hang the man on? It's the crucifixion. He came to death. It didn't say he went beyond it yet. He came to death. So what would it be? Crucifixion. Okay? So he came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal. Do you know what Gilgal is? Huh? It's a rolling wheel, okay? But what was Gilgal literally, if you go back in the scriptures to find out what happened there? Saul was anointed there. The first king was anointed in Gilgal. Okay? So what would that be? Could you say that's a place of beginning? At the crucifixion, guess what it is? It's a beginning of life. Well, that's what I'm saying. Spiritually, that's what it means. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's the beginning to go and meet the king, right? To conduct him or bring him over Jordan. And Shimei, the son, Shimei means famous or renowned, the son of Gera, which means a grain, a Benjamite, the son of the right hand, which was in Behurim, the young man's village, hastened and came down to meet with Judah, right? To meet the king. Now, what did that say? Shimei was the famous or the renowned, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, which was a Behurim, hastened and came down with the men of Judah to meet the king. Okay? And there were with him 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, which means statue, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king. I don't want to miss anything here. Okay, Shimei. Who did Shimei represent? He represented humanity, but let's make it more definite in humanity. Who did it represent? Adam. Represented the famous man, the first man, the renowned man. The ego man, the I man, the first man, Adam. Okay? They were, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul. And what does Saul represent? The Edomite or the Adamite, right? And his 15 sons and 20 daughters, 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. So what would that represent? 15 and 20. There's a reason for these being here. Well, there's a witness of grace in the 15, 5 times 3, and in his 20 servants, what does 20 witness of the law, 2 times 10. So the law and the servants went, you know, before him where? The grace of God got them, got this law and stuff to go over Jordan, which is Jordan is what? Went over death before the king. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospels? He said, I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. The law must be fulfilled before the new covenant can come in position. Correct? So that's what's happened. The law is passing away here because of what's going on the hill right above it, you know, going on the crucifixion, and passing over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat. Now, that's not true. The language doesn't say ferry boat. It says they come to a ford or a place to ford the river. Okay, there wasn't no ferry boat there, believe me. To carry the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. Do you know what that tells me in the gospel? Remember that day in the gospel when he was hanging on the cross? And the man on one side says, if you be the Son of God, come down, save yourself and us too. What did the other man say? Lord, when you enter your kingdom, remember me. Right there it is. Today you'll be with me in paradise. That's what I see when I read this verse. He came across death, and when he came to death, what did he do? He fell down and worshiped God. He honored God, just like the man hanging on the cross, which was a type of Adam at the time. And he said to the king, let not my Lord impute iniquity to me, neither remember, and the word do thou shouldn't be there, neither remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my Lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. Because your servant does know that I sinned. The word have shouldn't even be there. Because your servant does know that I sinned. He's saying, I know that I did something wrong. Every one of us has to come to a place in our life where we can see that we did something wrong. It can't be, I'm sorry because the preacher told me I did something wrong, so now I'm sorry. You've got to come to a place in your life where you can see yourself that you're doing things the wrong way. If you don't, will you ever change? If you think it's all right, you're never going to change that situation, are you? You have to do it yourself. You work out your own deliverance. Okay? Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my Lord the King, the house of Joseph. That would be way back from the beginning, wouldn't it? But he came first to go down and meet the king. Wonder who was the first one to meet the king? Adam. Wasn't he? He was in the garden by himself when there was no one else there, wasn't he? But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered or responded and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this because he cursed the Lord's anointed? Abishai, what's it mean? My father is a gift. And Zeruai means balsam or wounded. But you know, when someone's wounded, what do? They lash out. And this is what Abishai did. He lashed out and said, shall not he die for this? Shall not Shimei die for what he did? Do you think there's any grace involved in that? When you let your emotions control your decisions, your thinking process, you will never have grace for anyone, will you? Because you'll think, if they've done me wrong, I've got a right to wrong them back. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I'll repay. Okay? Now, you may think that God's not going to have enough fury when it comes to judging people. That's not our call, is it? And you know what? When Father stands there and says, come on in, it doesn't make any difference to me what they've done, because I have it in my heart that I desire all to come to God. You know? That's his mercy and grace, isn't it? You have grace and mercy for how many?
All.
Okay. So should he be put to death because he cursed the Lord's anointed? Adam man, right? He's the one in notoriety. And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? That today, that you should this day be adversaries to me. And literally, the adversaries, you know what the word adversary here is in the Hebrew language? You're going to like this one. What's anybody, does anybody know, Lois? Don't say anything. Does anybody know what that word is for adversary? I'm going to write up on the board. You become my Satan. That's the Hebrew word, Satan. How about that? If you want to look at the Strong's number, 7854. Look it up and see yourself. You have become my Satan this day. He said, to me you become Satan. Why? Because they had no mercy and grace, did they? They wanted an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They're still living back under the law. In their head. Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? Because do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? You know what David was? He was Christ. You know what that represents? You. And you got to know who you are and not make retaliations and not go on the counsel and advice of somebody else, but go on the counsel and advice of the Spirit of God in this book. And it's in your heart. Guess what? That's how you make your decision. David said, I'm not killing anybody. Nobody will die this day. You know why? Because he died for us. Correct? So why should anyone else have to die? How have we got the right to extract the penalty of death on someone when God already died for that person? He didn't just die for us, did he? He died for all. So what right have we got to extract death upon someone else? Someone answer that one for me. I don't have any rights. I'm the servant. It's not even in your thought process to judge somebody in that way. Therefore the king said to Shimei, Adam, you shall not die. And the king swore unto him. There's the cross. There's the cross in action. When the cross has become effective in your life, you will no longer wish death upon anyone. But you'll have grace and mercy for all. No longer, no matter what they do, you'll not have the sentence of death in your heart. If you have already went to the cross in your life, it's become active and alive in your life, how could you ever desire to put someone through what you went through? You'd never do it. Excuse me. Therefore the king said to him, you shall not die. Let me look at Luke 23:39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him and saying, if you be Christ, save yourself and us. But the other responding rebuked him, saying, Do thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, or the same sentence? And we indeed justly, because we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing improper or wicked. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you comest in your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say to you, today, or at this very day, you will be with me in where? Literally the word is Eden. You'll be with me in Eden, which was the garden of paradise, the garden of Eden. You'll go back to where you was from the beginning in God. That's what I see these same things all through this thing. Okay. And Mephibosheth, remember what his name meant? Exterminating the idols. The son of Saul came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard, or literally the language doesn't say beard, it says mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. Sounded almost like a Nazirite, didn't he? Never laid a razor on him or anything, or cut his hair, never did anything until he came to that peace. And it came to pass that when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said to him, Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Now here's an excuse. I don't care how you slice it or dice it, it's an excuse. It may have happened, but still an excuse. And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, because your servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because the servant is lame. So his servant came in his place. He jumped up and volunteered, said, Hey, I'll go because you're lame and I'll do it for you. But you know what the book says? Philippians 2 and 12. Work out your own deliverance, your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. If Mephibosheth had done his own thing, you think he'd have been in this trouble? Don't you think he would have been with David when he left? When you let somebody do something for you, you're going to get in trouble. I'm not talking about fellowship with people. I'm talking about when you let somebody think for you. That's the biggest fault with all of the religious system, all of the church system, is somebody wants to think, I know more than everybody else. I don't care if I do know more than you. You still got to do it yourself. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus never come down and said, Look, let me tell you what to do and just do what I say and that's the end of it. Every time that he was challenged in this thinking process, he put it back to them and said, What do you think about it? What was he doing, Mike? He's trying to make you understand that you got a brain and you're supposed to function with that thing. Not just to figure out how to get food in your mouth and a place to sleep at night. He wants you to think about the things that God wants in your life. So that's what he's trying to tell us here. You've got to do it yourself. Don't let somebody do it for you. Okay? He said, you know, his servant was lame. He said, in verse 27, And he has slandered your servant unto the Lord my king, but my Lord the king is as a what? Literally, it's the word malak, which means messenger. It's number 4317 in the Hebrew dictionary in the Strong's. My king is a messenger of God. Do therefore what is good in your eyes. Because all my father's house were but dead men before my Lord the king, yet you did set your servant among them that did eat at your own table. He was talking about himself. And then he makes this statement at the end, and this statement is very important. Can anyone tell me why this statement is important, what he finished that 28th verse with? What right have I to yet cry to the king anymore? What importance is that in your life? That's part of it, very close to it. I'm looking for one word. Maturity. He came to a place, he realized that he was lame. He realized he had to eat from the king's table. Wonder what he was eating? The Word of God. And he found out, guess what? My sufficiency's in you. And when you eat the Word of God, guess what comes up? Maturity. You're going to grow up. You're not going to need somebody else to tell you what to do. You're going to say, Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, whatever you want. See what I'm saying? You'll quit your murmuring. You'll have no more right to say anything like that, see? David made a statement. He said, split the land. He said, that settled it. I don't want to talk about it no more. I don't want to live in the past. Hello? How many people live in the past in their lives? Somebody hurt me. Somebody lied to me. Somebody took my stuff. Somebody done something to me. That is all past. You know what today is? It's today, not yesterday. If you live in anything beyond today, either direction, you know what? You're missing the whole point of today. Today is the day that we need to live in, right? Right now. Forget what happened yesterday. Forget what's going on. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. The book says, don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough evil to survive for the day. Let it go. Just take care of today. It's all you got. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take it all, forasmuch as my lord the king has come again in peace into his own house. You hear what the man's heart says? I don't care about any of this worldly stuff. It don't matter. The king has come home. You know what he's saying? He wasn't talking about King David coming back to the town of Jerusalem. He was talking about Christ coming into his life. And when Christ comes into your life, that day star rises in your heart. Guess what? You don't care about stuff anymore. It's not important. It's just not important anymore. And didn't he say, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the stuff will be added to you? Well, then do you believe it? If you believe it, you don't have to beat yourself up seeing how much money you can make the rest of your life, do you? Because he said, if I'll feed the sparrows, how much more are you worth to me than the sparrows? He feeds the birds. He'll take care of you too. Now, if God didn't say it, I'd be worried. But since God did say it, guess what? I am not worried about where my meal's coming from the rest of my life, tomorrow or any other time. I don't really care. It doesn't make any difference. Because he already said it, and I know God can't lie. Because it even says so in here. He's never lied to me yet. And if God was a liar, why would he make it such a point to not lie to us? He's never lied to us yet, has he? See? And if he was a liar, his nature would, he'd be telling us all kinds of lies. So it's not true. I know God will take care of it. Verse 31. Now we come to this guy, Barzillai, the Gileadite. Came down from Rogelim, that's a mouthful of stuff, and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Barzillai, you know what it means? Iron-hearted, hard-hearted, iron-hearted. Iron-hearted is what it says in the language. The Gileadite, which is a rocky region, rocks usually speak of something pretty hard and dry, doesn't it? The seed fell along the road, the rocky road, and didn't do much, did it? And he came down from Rogelim. Rogelim is a place of the foolers, or the fullers. You know what the fuller is? It's the washers. They wash clothes, the fullers. They wash things. So he came from the place of the washer and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king a substance while he sojourned, not lay, but sojourned at Mahanaim. Now, while he sojourned at Mahanaim, you know what that word means? Duality. While he was in duality, while David was still yet in the land of duality. And do you remember that there was a place in the land of Israel when they came across that there was part of them stayed on this side of Jordan and part of them like here? And about like this, went on the other side. Do you remember that? So while he was in this part over here, he provided his substance over here. And then he took him to Jordan and he crossed over to there. Okay? Going east, back east again. Just things I'm seeing in my mind as we're doing this. Because he was a very great man, he was a great wealth, had a great notoriety. And the king said to Barzillai, Come with me, and I will feed you with me in Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem mean? That's multiple meanings. It can say dual meaning. It can be a teaching of peace. Well, what here I believe fits the product very well is the teaching of peace. Let me come and feed you with the teaching of peace. Okay? What is the teaching of peace? It's the gospel, the good news, the message of reconciliation. And Barzillai said unto the king, there's three words here where it says, how long have I lived? In the words, how long, there's three words. And it literally says, he's saying, why? The word why is in here. And in those two words, how long, the words say this, those three Hebrew words says, why? I have 2 days to live. Hello? Sounds like a Pentecostal man that don't want to go any farther. Hello? In their thinking process. He said, why? I have 2 days to live. He's not going to the third day. See? He'll come to the Jordan, just cross Jordan and turn and go back. And that's what he did, wasn't it? That's amazing what's hidden in the language. Not willing to give up what he had. See, he's wanting to live in the old comfortable style. He said that I should go with the king unto Jerusalem to the teaching of peace, or to the message of the gospel of reconciliation. He said, I am this day 80 years old, or 80 years old, and can discern between good and evil. Oh, I have arrived. Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Sounds like a little, what? Naomi? Don't call me Naomi any longer, because call me Mara now, because I'm bitter, because God's dealt bitterly with me. Can you hear it in there? He's saying, I can't hear no good things anymore. I can't hear no good singing. Well, God, you know, if you haven't got good singing, God couldn't be there, right? Is that the way it is? That's what they think in that realm. He said, wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Sounds like a little murmuring, complaining. Oh, yeah. Good enough for, it was good for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for me. Well, if Paul and Silas heard what they're preaching today, it'd make them sick and turn them over in their grave if it was possible. Oh, jeez. He said, let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again that I may die in my own city. I. You hear it? That I may die in my own city, in my city, and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. I, me, my, or mine. That's the ego world. But behold, thy servant Chinham, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him whatever shall seem good to you. Chinham, what's his name mean? Pining. Or longing. Pining or longing. Pining away. Nope. Longing to go on. And the king answered Chinham, shall go with me, and I will do him what will seem good to you, and whatsoever you shall require of me, that will I do. And all of the people went over Jordan. Does anybody have a choice in that? Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die. He didn't make a choice anyway. No one makes the choice, but you know, he went anyway. All the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. Now, let's look what was going on here. When the king came over, guess what that is? That is the resurrection. When the king came over, okay? There's your resurrection. And the king kissed Barzillai, the hard-hearted one, and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. Imagine that. Even the wicked are going to be called in after the king comes across death. And they don't believe in reconciliation. But you know what? Today they may reject reconciliation, and they may despise it and spurn it and curse it and everything else. But I'm going to tell you, when they come across that river of death, and step into the kingdom of God in its fullness and its glory, there's nobody going to be kicking about reconciliation. I promise you that. Oh, yeah. When he returned, he kissed him when everybody else, the older son, was jealous. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. And the king went on to Gilgal. And again, what is Gilgal? What is it? It's the place of beginning again. So he went back. And you remember, I never had time to look this up, but it just flashed through my mind, but you remember there's a place in Scripture that talks about when the priest stepped into the water abated and it stood up and went all the way back to a town called Adam to start from the very beginning and come back and get everybody. And those are the things that kick back. You need to be able to see, and that's what I'm trying to show you, little things that will kick out and show you that this is not just a whole bunch of messages thrown together. This is one message told in many, many ways to reinforce it in your spirit that God said what he meant, meant what he said. He's going to take care of all of them. The king went on to the beginning, and Chinham went on with him. And what was Chinham? The longing. And who was that? That's right, it's you. It's first fruit, the ones that went on with him. And all the people of Judah conducted the king and also half the people of Israel. Well, you know what? That's a cat fight. What this is saying here, it said all the people of Judah and also half the people of Israel conducted the king. Please clarify the fact that was a cat fight outside the building right now. Okay. What does he say? What is he saying when he says all the people of Judah and half the people of Israel conducted the king? See? Well, they went with him to where? They only went to the river with him. They conducted him to the river. I don't think they took him on a cross. Okay? And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, how many of them? Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen you away and have brought the king and his household and all of David's men over Jordan? See, they went with him. Part of them went with him. The men of Judah went with him. Part of them. But he says, why did they do it? He said, why did all the men of Israel come to the king and say, why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen you away and took you across Jordan? Why did they do it? What was the problem in their minds? The men of Israel, what was the problem in their minds? Jealousy. They wanted to have the same thing that the men of Judah had. And their story was this. We have 10 parts. We got 10 tribes over here, and they only got 2 over there. How come? How come they get you and we don't? How about first fruit? They were the ones that committed to him, right? Said, I'm going back to the Gentiles because you guys won't hear it. And all the men of Judah responded with the men of Israel responded to the men of Israel because the king is near of kin to us. Hello. You hear what they said? We're brothers. We're not half brothers. We're Joseph's brother. Who was that? Benjamin. See, we're Benjamites. We're part of him. We're full-blood brothers with him. Some of them are half-brothers, but they're all still considered brothers. You better know there is some half-brothers we got out here. Lots of them. They're still our brothers, but they're half-brothers. And they're not going to be anything but jealous. And they answered the men of Judah and said, because the king is near of kin to us. Therefore, then, why are you angry? Or jealous is what the word should say. Why are you jealous for this matter? Have we eaten at all of the king's at the king's cost, or has he given us any gifts? And the men of Israel answered or responded to the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king. We have also more right to David than you. Why then did you despise us that our advice should not be first and had in bringing back our king? What do you think the jealousy was? I, me, my, mine. Absolutely. We're first because we got more people coming the door today, and we collected more things, and we had more programs and all that stuff. See, that's not what it's about. See, they knew their identity. They knew that they were near akin to Him. Do you hear me? Look what they said. Because the King is near of kin to us. They knew their what? Their relationship or their identity to Christ. And if you know your identity to Christ, does it make any difference what anybody accuses you of? See, there's the liberty. There's the freedom in God to know your identity, and that's what He's trying to tell you. When you know who you are, your sufficiency is totally in Him, not in any person. And that doesn't mean we shun humanity. It's just they have no influence upon us any longer. None of that negative influence on us any longer. Do you hear what I'm saying? So now we can stand in what God has placed within us with His Word. How many times do I have to hear God say something before I believe it? Once for me. Some people might take twice. Some might take 2,000. Some might take 2,000,000. I don't know. It's not my call. Some are harder headed than others, you know. And you know what? I can say I heard many times people telling me about the gospel of God. And I'm going to tell you what I said about the gospel of God. They didn't show me the gospel of God or the love of God. All they told me about was, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. And that had no effect in my life. All it did was make me run harder and farther from them because I felt no love in what they were telling me. I know these people were very sincere in what they were trying to do. Someone told them what to do and they went and did it. Had no understanding of what they were doing. All they were doing was driving me away from God, which God wanted at the time. He wanted me to go experience those things, just like David did when he said, he learned he obedient. No, it's not what he said. He said, can't pull the words out now. Well, just hang on a second. It's going to come back. We're not in a hurry. He was born in his sins and iniquities. He said, I was born in my sins and iniquities. Is that what it is? Something to that effect David said in the Psalms. But anyway, he learned things through the things that he experienced in his life. What did Solomon tell us in his life? He did all these things, drinking and carousing with women and doing all the things he was doing. And he said all that was vanity. He was learning an experience with God in his life. And he said it's all vanity. It has nothing to do with that. God's the only thing that's important, right? What's he say in the last part of Ecclesiastes? Let's hear the conclusion of all the things. Love God and keep His commandments. The whole duty of man. So he found out that all this stuff really isn't important. It's what we were talking last week, week before, about the journey or the destination. See, the journey teaches you things, but the main thing is where I'm going to end up. And that's what this is all about. He said, hey, the journey's nothing compared to the destination. It's great, the journey's great, but the destination is even greater. The tabernacle is even greater. Okay, where did I leave off at there? Okay, we got through the jealousy part. They wanted to be first and bring back king. And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. And you know, there's a problem there too. They were still working. They were yet called to be on the other side, but they had not got there yet. And they still had an attitude to be fierce in their words, to argue. Said the men of Judah were still fiercer than the ones of Israel. And we know Israel was pretty fierce, wasn't it? So it's showing you that their nature is not yet worked out. As sons of God, are we perfected? That's a trick question.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. See, because we are in spirit, but we have not walked out the experience of it yet. And that's what this is showing you. Even though they're men of Judah called first fruit, guess what? They still got some things that need to be dealt with. Correct? Still got to be tested. And the test is not for who? God, but for you and me. The test is for us. Okay? Any questions? Rocks? Comments? Or?